have been listening to the Cool Cats. We hope you have enjoyed. That was Duke Ellington. This is Electro Kitty and...
Yours truly, Meow Meow Kitty. Honestly, I hope you enjoyed. It was too much fun.
We hope you enjoyed. Have fun for the rest of the night.
As I said.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed.
Yes.
Great night.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 10 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. We hope our friend Jada will join us as well as usual, but we're not sure where she is. Some real mystery. But we're going to start talking about some books while we wait to see if she comes for that mystery to be solved. And I think Fatia is going to share a poem with us today.
Color poem. There are two types of color poems. The first type describes a color and uses that word at the beginning of each line. The second type uses the senses, the five senses, to describe a color. You can choose your favorite color, least favorite color, or a favorite that represents a certain mood. Brown is dirt. Brown is mud. Brown is wood. Brown is a bear. Brown is Mother Nature. Yellow looks sunshine. Yellow looks like birds chirping. Yellow tastes like lemons. Yellow smells like sweet flowers. Yellow feels like happiness.
That's really nice. I was like, how many colors are they going to go through? I would listen to them all. Although there's a lot of colors if you go deep. Do you ever write poems?
I think one or two times, maybe.
I like the idea of a color poem where you pick a color, and I like the, like, brown is this, brown is that, brown is it, brown does this. I thought that was cool. What made you pick that poem to share?
Like, because I really like colors, and, like, that poem makes me feel colorful.
Do you have a favorite color?
Not really. All colors are my favorite.
I'm the same. I used to have favorite colors. Over time, they maybe changed a little bit. Like, most often it was yellow or blue were my favorites, but now I really like them all. Depends on how they're used and where they're used, and maybe my mood as well. But all of the colors are beautiful. So I also liked that poem. Thank you for sharing. So I wanted to share some books today that are coming out this month that I thought sounded interesting. I thought some of our listeners and my co-hosts would be interested in. There's a lot of graphic novels coming out, specifically middle grade graphic novels, one of which is the 9th book in the Amulet series. It's called, I think it's Wave Rider. Let me double check. Yeah, Wave Rider. So it's Amulet Book 9, Wave Rider. And it's by Kazu Kubuishi. And that's a very popular series. And I don't think there's been a book out for some time. The first book in the series came out back in 2008. And I read it maybe not right away after publication, but, you know, around that time frame. So I don't remember it that well, but I do remember liking it. And since I don't want to spoil the series, I'm not going to read the description for the 9th book, but I'll read the book description for the first book so that if anyone hasn't picked it up yet and wants to check out this series, which the 9th book is the final book, it's the conclusion of the series. So if you want to read a book series from start to finish, you can do that now for the series. So the first book in the series is called The Stone Keeper. And this is the description. The first book in Kazu Kibuishi's number one New York Times bestselling series that features a beautiful but dangerous world of new friends, giant robots, and shadowy enemies. After the tragic death of their father, Emily and Naveen move with their mother to the home of her deceased great-grandfather. The strange house proves to be dangerous. Before long, a tentacled creature lures the kid's mom through a door in the basement. Em and Naveen, desperate not to lose her, follow her into a fantastical world inhabited by robots, mysterious plants, and talking animals. It's up to Em and Naveen to figure out how to set things right and save their mother's life. So that's the description for The Stone Keeper, which is the first book in the Amulet series by Kazu Kibuishi. And the 9th book and final book of the series just came out this week. So if you're a big fan of the series, go ahead and finish it off. And if you haven't picked it up yet, no time like the present. And that's a middle grade graphic novel suggested for 7 to 11 years old. But it's probably okay for some younger readers and certainly fine for older readers as well. Another graphic novel that just came out this week, sounds good, is one by an author that I'm not familiar with named Rashad Duchet. It's not their debut, but I haven't read their other books. But I'll read the description for this one as well. And Rashad Duchet does the artwork as well for this book, as does Kazu Kibuishi, writes and illustrates his own graphic novels. Inspired by the author's own childhood, this contemporary graphic novel paints a picture of an aspiring young artist on a mission to prove that the arts are worth fighting for. Dale Donovan has heard the same lecture over and over again. Art will get you nowhere in life. A kid with a creative streak, Dale wants nothing more than to doodle, play video games, and create comics forever, maybe even as a full-time job one day. But between his grandfather pushing him to focus on his studies and a school with zero interest in funding arts programs, Dale feels like his future has already been decided for him. That is, until he comes up with the perfect plan. What if he starts an after-school arts club, gathers a team of creative students like himself, and proves all the naysayers, his stubborn vice principal in particular, wrong? This might just work, But if the club isn't financially successful by the end of the semester, the school will shut them down. This may be Dale's only chance to show the adults in his life that a career as an artist is not just a dream, but a possibility. And that sounds so good. I love a little artist fighting for their right to continue studying art and exploring the possibility of that as a career and taking matters into their own hands by forming a club. It's super cool. What is art like at your school? Do you have art class? Are there art clubs? Do you do much art in school?
Yeah, there's a lot of art clubs. There's like art clubs on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah. I go to all of them.
That's cool. Is it an after school club or a lunchtime club or is it a class?
It's a lunchtime club.
That's cool. Do you just get to do whatever you want during club or do they have certain projects that you work on?
Sometimes we get to do whatever we want or sometimes we have to do projects.
Cool. Do you have a favorite thing that you're working on currently?
I have one thing that I just started working on like a few weeks ago and it's like a self-portrait.
Cool. I'd love to see that when you're done. What kind of art materials are you using for the portrait? Is it paint or pastels or markers or pencils?
Paint.
Cool. Yeah, I haven't seen your artwork in so long. You used to always show us your picture books that you made on the show. I miss seeing your art. You'll have to show me something sometime. So anyways, that book is called Art Club by Rashad Duchette. And that just came out this week. So definitely check that out, especially if you're a young art lover. And here's another one that just came out this week. It's called Wildful by Kengo Korimoto, another author and illustrator who I have never read before. And this is the description for this one. Discover the magic of the wilderness in this breathtaking graphic novel reminiscent of The Secret Garden. Poppy's mother hasn't been the same since Gran passed away. She stays inside and watches TV, unable to leave the couch. So maybe that's why Poppy has started spending more time outside, taking her dog Pepper for walks around the neighborhood. When Pepper leads Poppy through a hole in the fence, she finds a forgotten forest that's been there all along, as well as a new friend named Rob. Rob teaches Poppy that you can find magic in the wilderness, if you know where to look. Poppy looks, and then she looks closer, and sees flowers opening before her eyes, watches animals slip into their hidden homes, and listens to the sound of water droplets falling gently on puddles, leaves, and feathers. She can barely wait to tell Mom about everything she's seen and asks her to come see too. But her mother rarely has the energy to leave the couch. Will Poppy ever be able to help her mother see the beauty in the woods and in life? This beautifully illustrated graphic novel is an exploration of grief, love, and finding magic in the wilderness and in ourselves. I'm excited to see this because I feel like the description alone, you can kind of get a mental picture in your head of what it could look like. And so I'm excited to see how the artist portrays this beautiful wilderness that Poppy is exploring. And I really loved The Secret Garden when I was a kid. I think I had the book read to me, but then there was also I don't know if it was a made for TV movie or something. There was some kind of film adaptation that I think I had a recording of that I watched a lot. I really loved it. I'm definitely going to check that one out. Again, that one is Wildful by Kengo Korimoto. Just came out this week. And it looks like it's part of a series, according to my book vendor. So maybe there'll be more to come from that. Now I'm wondering if the Art Club, that one also says it's from a series called Art Club. So maybe there'll be more of that. Or maybe they just always think it might be a series. I don't know how these things work. Because the next one I'm going to share is also from a series that has the same name as the first book. So this one is called The Happy Shop. It's by Brittany Long Olson, and it comes out next week. And this is the description for this one. 11-year-old Darcy thinks she's found the answer to her problems when she discovers a store selling happy feelings. But is happiness really the only emotion people need? A heartwarming middle grade graphic novel debut for fans of Inside Out and Pilu of the Woods about understanding the value in all feelings. Welcome to the Happy Shop. 11-year-old Darcy just moved to a new country. She's feeling lost and misses her friends back home. That's when she stumbles upon a shop full of mysterious glowing jars. labeled with things like picking up the last sweater on the rack and it's on sale, and having the perfect weather on your wedding day. Much to Darcy's surprise, this store sells happy feelings. After Darcy accidentally breaks one of the irreplaceable jars, she must make it up to the shopkeepers, Frida and Flora, by doing chores around the store, and is soon tasked with collecting happy feelings. But she learns that the magical business is anything but magical. With fewer customers than ever, Frida and Flora might have to close their doors. Can Darcy think of an idea to save the happy shop? What if they sold more than just happy feelings? From debut writer and illustrator Brittany Long Olson comes The Happy Shop, a heartfelt story about helping those you love and understanding your feelings. It's interesting. The idea of having a happy feeling that's connected to an exact event or activity, like having the perfect wedding weather on your wedding day. But if you've never had a wedding day, what does that even feel like? And is it really the weather that makes you happy? I don't know. But it sounds interesting. I'm definitely going to check that out. It's gotten received some good reviews. And I like checking out a debut writer and illustrator, because sometimes you check out their work and you find that you want to read more. And then you have like a new person to keep an eye on. So I've had a few authors in these books that I've just mentioned that were ones that I haven't read before. So that should be fun. And I'll share one more graphic novel. This one is also coming out next week. It is called Viewfinder. And this one is by Christine D.U. Chung and Sawa Majoka. And this is the description. A young space traveler visits Earth on a whim and finds a planet empty of people. She happens upon a strange contraption that contains images of what the planet used to be like. And using this viewfinder, she sees Earth as it was, juxtaposed against Earth as it is, abandoned but still full of amazing things. Her adventure takes her to a museum full of hints about the planet's past and the strange glowing mushrooms that grow everywhere, a library that has become home to a variety of zoo animals, and a beautiful but crumbling space station from which she makes a daring escape. As she wanders, though, she sees signs that perhaps there is still someone here. A time capsule, a friendly cat, and a makeshift rail car all add to the mystery. Is she really alone? The lush and captivating art and subtle nod to stewardship in this wordless graphic novel will draw readers in and leave them with a renewed sense of wonder for the resilient and extraordinary place we call home. So that is Viewfinder by Christine D.U. Chung and Sawa Majoka. And I'm super excited for that because it sounds really interesting. And I like the exploration of like an abandoned place and trying to figure out that place with no one there, possibly no one there. But I also love wordless storytelling. And so I'm very excited to read this one. And by read it, I mean read the pictures because there's no words. And then I think that is what I will mention for today for books coming out. There's also a new Alan Gratz book called Heroes that should be very good. And for fans of the City Spies series, there's another book that just came out this week called Mission Manhattan. And that's a series by James Ponti. I know my niece is really into that book and was very excited that book is coming out. So I'm sure she'll be reading it soon. But otherwise, I've still been reading a couple books that I've talked about on the show already, Mexikid and Blood, Water, Paint. And our nonfiction book club at the library is reading Black Women's History of the United States this month. So I've just started that. That's by Dana Ramey Berry and Kali Nicole Gross. So I'm reading that. So because I'm reading three books at the same time, they're all taking quite some time. But I'm always still finding time to read picture books in between those readings as well. And this past week, I read a bunch of books by Wanda Gag, who wrote one of my favorite books of all time, Millions of Cats, which I've read like hundreds and hundreds of times in my life. It's such a great book. I love the illustrations and the story and the writing. I love everything about it. And for some reason, I don't remember how I came across this, but somehow just like a week or so ago, I realized that I hadn't read anything else by her before. And so I decided to right that wrong, and I borrowed a ton of books from the library by her, and I still have more to come. But she wrote a bunch of books, and they're all very interesting. She was writing, well, she was born in 1893. I'm not sure which book was her first book. She definitely published as early as 1927. Seeing a book that's that early, that's probably her first one. But Millions of Cats is definitely her most famous book. She won awards for it. And it's apparently the oldest picture book still in print today. Fun fact, because it's that good. But Millions of Cats came out in 1928. So she was writing quite some time ago. So it's definitely got like an older style. But the stories that I've read, the ones that I borrowed last week, they're not as great as Millions of Cats. But they're very fun and quirky and different. Like there was one about, there's like three dogs that live in three houses next to each other. Like one has pointy ears, one has wavy ears, and one of them is invisible. And their houses, like the pointy dog lives in a pointy house, the wavy one lives in a wavy house, and the invisible dog lives in a rounded roofed house. And there's some children that find the dogs, but they can only see the two that are visible. And so they take them off to live with them at their home. And the other dog's like, what am I going to do? Like, how do I make it so the kids can see me? And eventually figures out how to become visible. Spoiler alert. And then there is one where there's like a guy that like feeds all his different animal friends specific special treats. And then a dragon comes up one day and he offers the dragon these various treats, and the dragon doesn't want any of the treats, doesn't think they're like the right treat for a dragon. And so the guy makes up a treat name. I forget what it is, but it's something like Jewel Julebies or something like that. And he goes off and says he'll make this special treat fit for a dragon and just wait right there. And he basically takes all of the food that he had just offered the dragon and mixes it all together and then serves it as a special treat. And the dragon loves it and he feels so special. He's so excited and he keeps coming back day after day and gave him this nice treat. And eventually his tail just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. And then one day his tail's so long, he like can barely move. So he just plops himself on top of a mountain and his tail keeps growing down the mountain in a spiral. And the birds bring him the treats to eat for the rest of his days. So that's another story. Again, totally spoiled that one, but it's about the journey, not the ending. And then one of she also had an ABC book, ABC Bunny, that's very good. And Snippy and Snappy, which is about two mice that go on a hunt for cheese. But one that I really liked was called Gone is Gone, or the story of a man who wanted to do housework. And it's basically that. There's a man who works out in the fields all day while his wife stays home and does the housework. And one day he comes home and he's like, look, I work so hard all day long, every day. I want to do what you do. I just want to stay home and like be at home and take care of the house. That seems easy. And so the next day the wife goes out in the fields to do his work and he stays home to do the housework. And spoiler alert, the housework is very hard and he makes a mess of everything and it's a horrible, horrible experiment. And in the end, he decides he should go back to the fields. But it's just really funny and he gets into such a mess. It's really fun to read. But the next thing I'm planning to read is she did some collections of Tales from Grimm. So stories from the Grimm brothers, fairy tales. And there's at least two collections of those stories. So there's Tales from Grimm and then there's more Tales from Grimm. And they have a mix of some of the better known fairy tales, ones that just about every child knows. And then there's some less familiar ones. And one that I read the other day as an individual book, as opposed to in a collection, is actually in the More Tales from Grimm series. It's called Jorinda and Joringel, which is a story I'd never heard before. So it was really fun to read a fairy tale that I had no idea what was going to happen, where it was going to go. And that one was illustrated by a different illustrator. but the collections I've seen are illustrated by Wanda Gag, who was a really wonderful illustrator. So I'm excited to read these because I love her artwork and her storytelling. And then fairy tales are always really fun and often very weird. So I'm interested to read some of the ones that I've never read before, like Lazy Hinds or Lean Liesel and Lanky Lens, or The Dragon and His Grandmother, Dr. Know-It-All. I haven't heard of any of those, but that's my next fun Wanda Gag reading experience. But highly suggest people checking her out if you haven't. Definitely Millions of Cats, one of my favorite books of all times. So I'd highly suggest that if you're not familiar with her. And then if you are familiar with that and enjoyed the illustrations, it's worth checking out some of these other books. Again, not as good, but still charming and cute. And the illustrations and storytelling are really fun. But have you read Wanda Gag before? Do you recognize Millions of Cats?
No, I never read that book before, but it sounds like an interesting book to read.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's so these are all picture books, but it's a story of there's a man and a woman who are very much in love and they wanted to have a child, but were not able to. And she decides that she really wants to have a cat. So he says he's going to go out and find the most beautiful cat at the mall, the best one ever. And he goes out and instead of finding one really amazing cat, he finds cat after cat after cat. He finds millions of cats. Actually, he finds more than millions of cats because there's a continual refrain of, it goes, cats here, cats there, cats and kittens everywhere, hundreds of cats, thousands of cats, millions and billions and trillions of cats. And so he goes out and he tries to find one cat for his wife, but he ends up coming home with like millions and billions and trillions of cats. And so it's the story about that adventure and then how they end up with the perfect cat of them all. And it's just got very sweet illustrations. They're all black and white, so they're very pretty, and the cats are cute. And I love cats, so great book for me. I loved that book as a kid. I love it as an adult. But yeah, check it out. We're just about out of time for today. But thank you, everyone, for listening in. We hope everyone out there listening has a great week with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then.
Happy reading.
Your life.